Hi, this is Chaim Goldman for The Peak Elevated and our bonus interview with Travis Deal, who is the CEO of Colorado Springs Utilities. Just finished a broadcast with him, and you should listen to the podcast if you haven't already. But there's always so much to talk about that we can't possibly get to in our time schedule. So this is our bonus time. And even before the interview, we were talking about this. And so this is where you're going to get some inside information. We're going to be talking about how legislation on the state and the federal level is really going to be a challenge for our utility bills, possibly what we can do about it. And also how, while certain mandates are possible, others are seeming to be extremely challenging. So, Travis Deal, CEO of Colorado Springs Utilities, thanks for this bonus interview.
Thank you very much. And we did talk, and you had some great questions. I hope everybody get to listen to the podcast, because this is sort of add on some of that. But this next level is, I think the question that came up, you know, is how does 2030 impact us? You know, can we meet?
So these are the standards for 80%
carbon reduction.
Yes, okay, sir, by 2030.
2030. Just last week on Tuesday, we actually, tomorrow, we actually had a mandate come out for Colorado on top of the other one of zero carbon by 2040. That one I have great concerns about. 2030 is going to cost us more money. There's no way around it. But 2040 gets into the question is, can we even do it? And the answer at this point we're seeing is we can't. So we have so much that comes in is what not having a base load type of power generation when it gets into different types
and
of power.
And explain what does base load mean?
Base load is power that I can call on no matter what, anytime. That's going to be hydro, coal, gas, nuclear, any of those that is always available, rain or shine, wind or snow, they're always there.
So sun and wind are not that.
Sun and wind, traditional renewables are not complete base load.
Yeah.
So with that, you got to be able to bring those on and still have something to get you through the night or get you through storms. And in 2040, zero carbon, we do not have any technology at our fingertips right now that can meet that. And you're going to start seeing a lot of concerns, not only for myself, but even some peers of mine. I've seen bring up concerns at the federal level multiple times. But the state of Colorado has shown to be the most aggressive. Now, I have had commitment from Governor Polis's office to continue to work with me to try to find a resolution with that. But you'll probably have seen some things that come out, not only the local media, but even on our line, which I think will be shared today, is a blog that I put out about really what some of these impacts are. Everything is about compromise. So we continue to have to compromise, not only, you know, as utilities and states, and we're not quite seeing some of that. We got to have compromise with this. I think everybody's intentions and what they're wanting on is great. I'm very much an outdoorsman, and I want the world to be as green and clean as possible. But it cannot come at the cost where it impacts reliability or it prices people out where they cannot have what they need for their homes, whether it's electric bills or the price of goods goes up because electricity's in everything.
Right.
So if cost goes up for everybody, it's going to go up in your food, your manufacturing, your materials, and that's at the state level. So I do have concerns, but I'm hoping, you know, with some of the commitments I've heard from the state, that we can go back to the table and try to take a look at what 2040 looks like.
Okay, get it in writing.
Get it right. Yeah, we definitely will, sir.
So what you're saying is something that that needs to be implemented on citywide scales across Colorado in just about 15 years. You don't even see that we have the technology even invented at this point?
It's available in some areas, but here we do not have that where you could just shut down all fossil fuel at this point. So we just don't have any amount of base load to take us through that.
Because we're talking, if we're going to be sustainable, there have to be batteries. And people already know that just a battery for your car to take you a couple hundred miles, what that costs. Think about an entire city having to run at night off of battery power.
And it's got to be available the day before to charge those batteries. So if you have a storm comes in and there's no solar available or wind, there's nothing that charges that battery. So you're going to be in deficit. That's where some of my reliability concerns is coming
in. So where do you think the people that are making such legislation are coming from? When people in the industry, you know, tell them, you know, this is most likely not possible.
I call it very good intentions. I do think people's hearts sometimes are in the right place and we want something, but we can't do it yet. And I think as humans, sometimes our wants outpace what our needs are, outpace actually what our capabilities are. And I definitely think the intentions are good, but they need to bring us to the table as industry so we can actually come together with a plan that we can meet the technology and night price point out our customers. The price really worries me because I care about every customer that we have, and I take that very personally. So I'm doing everything I can to try to make sure I bring common sense legislation that we do not price point ourselves out and put our military. I've got 5 military installations, and like you said, you know, I'm a jarhead who's just working in a utility now, so I always care about our military.
If you listen, you know, you're a Marine. I'm told they're no former Marines, so I'll just call you a Marine.
Yes. Yeah. So it is very important to me that our military also has the lowest cost, most reliable power, because as the military changes, they need electricity for their command. And basically everything they do now, whether it's space command, all these, I am a critical part of the military's mission at Colorado Springs Utilities, and I take that very passionately as well.
So as far as the legislation, what does Colorado Springs Utilities do regarding, you know, I assume you have lobbying efforts and things because you're a large industry, but also what can the people do to try to get our elected officials a little bit more realistic?
I think the biggest thing is get involved. And I tell everybody, you know, we're the greatest country in the world for a reason. You know, we have democracy. You know, we actually have people that represent us on critical issues like this at the state and federal level. Understand where their thoughts are, understand where there is, and make sure that, you know, you're being vocal with them about what is important to you and how sometimes these policies. And I think as Americans, sometimes we just sort of go into cruise control and we go about our lives, and sometimes we're putting those folks out there and we need them to represent our interests. So I am hoping that everybody, you know, gets involved, understands where some of the legislation is. And if you have input, ask those questions. And know that I am also asking those same questions to make sure that we're doing everything we can to be a team player in the state of Colorado. We work with Governor Polis's administration, as well as our state legislation and representatives, to try to come up with the best path forward to get us where we need to be as a country, but not to negatively impact our citizens.
Okay. Well, in finishing up, what's your vision, you know, for the next, let's say, 10 years about how we navigate through this, where the government seems to be pushing, you know, we need power, we need these things, but the government seems to be pushing, in my opinion, you know, based on ideology more than reality and what Americans need. How do you span that gap as the CEO? Because you have to follow these regulations. How do you set a plan for that?
Some of the things we're doing now, we're actually putting some things on our bill now to explain some of the costs with some of the riders. The other thing we're doing now is we testify this year during the state legislation, as I continue to work with Governor Polis's administration, is showing detailed cost. So every decision we make has a cost to you as a ratepayer, and we're showing that. So every one of these is going to be your cost and this person this much money on their bill. And when you make those decisions, everybody has to understand it comes with consequence. My decision comes with consequences, as well as, you know, some of our politicians. And when we make those, we have to weigh that out, is what are we trying to get and what is the true cost to our citizens? We have those numbers now. We're going through that RFP now. So we have very factual, real numbers that every decision we make and exactly what that's going to cost you as a ratepayer. And we're going to make sure that we're showing that, you know, at the state of what these decisions are costing you.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. What do you want people to know? We were talking about ahead of time, people call to complain to you about rates, but, you know, what do you want them to know about what it really takes to make up these rates and how they should be thinking?
It takes a lot. Manage your usage. You know, make sure that, you know, your usage is based off of volume. So the more you use, the more it's going to cost, even when rates is up. So use the tools we have available to control those costs. Make sure you're reaching out to us. We have a phenomenal customer service center who takes a lot of pride in answering your questions. Reach out to them and ask those questions. And we're going to continue to work for you, not only locally, giving you those tools, but also state and federal level to make sure that our policies are not going to be impacting you more than they need to be.
Okay, wonderful. Travis Deal, thank you so much for this extra interview.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Chaim Goldman for The Peak.